It's time for The Drive's Top 5 at 5.
Quitting time on your Thursday, 5:01 here on Fan Run Radio. Time for your Top 5 at 5. It's brought to you by Volunteer Auto Group, where we will be tomorrow with the crumble cookies. Ugh, cannot wait.
It's going to be great, Tucker.
Tell me about it, please.
We will.
You'll have to tune in tomorrow to find out.
Yeah, I'll hear the chewing of cookies on the other end.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is your top four and top five updates are going to be great because we just kick it to you. Then
it's
we'll
cookie
sit back
time
and
for you guys.
Gorge ourselves.
Awesome.
Absolutely.
We'll bring you something back. You're a growing boy. You need some calories. Put some meat on those bones.
I don't know if he actually really needs it.
That is the truth. I don't know
what
if that's
supposed
need
to
it.
Mean. You call him a.
He's big boned, a little husky.
What are you doing?
Tell me something I don't know.
Personal appearance is not show fodder.
I mean, we're honest with each other here. Tucker, Chris is husky. I'm husky.
Oh.
Tucker's husky.
Oh.
And you're the skinny fat guy. Have a lot? Did I? Any lies?
What part of personal appearance is not show fodder? Do you not understand?
It's not show fodder. I'm just stating facts. We're big guys on this show.
Can he do his segment? Is that okay?
I don't know. Can you, Tucker?
I'll do it then.
We'll do it live.
Yes. Thank you, Russell. At number one, Tennessee basketball officially locked up the SEC title last night with a 66-59 win at South Carolina. This guarantees a number one seed and double bye in the SEC tournament in Nashville next week.
Dalton Connect now owns 34 20-point games as a D1 player, including 15 this season. Think he's any good?
I don't know, is he?
Pretty good, man. Just 13 D1 players entering last night's game have double-digit 25-point performances, with Purdue's Zach Edey the only one in a Power 6 lead. Connect is now one of those guys.
At number two, LA Rams president Kevin DeMoff is being named president of team and media operations for Kroenke Sports and Entertainment. He now is thought to be the first executive to run four professional sports teams. He will oversee operations of all KSC teams, including the Denver Nuggets, Colorado Avalanche,
and
Colorado
Arsenal.
Rapids, Colorado Mammoth.
No, oh. Kroenke owns Arsenal too, doesn't he? He's going to oversee all the American teams?
Yeah.
That's kind of weird. I don't know how I feel about it. Like these guys just owning teams.
Everything.
And every sport. It's like, pick a sport, man.
They're great investments, though.
Some for the rest.
That's how they got all this money.
Somebody had to go in there and bust it up, bust up the monopolies, Teddy Roosevelt style.
That's right.
I want to own a hockey team, a soccer team. I can't. Kroenke owns like 20% of them here in North America. Haslam's got three.
If we had a hockey team, we got Marcus. We could put him in charge of the draft.
He's already in charge of the new Space Force Academy football team.
I wouldn't let Marcus be in charge of my 9-year-old's birthday party. We're going to put him in charge of a professional sports team? What are you talking about?
He knows hockey.
He knows hockey?
Yeah.
Call me crazy. If I own a hockey team, my general manager's last name is going to end with ski.
It's a pretty good idea. At number three, the Denver Broncos continued their extensive foundational offseason makeover today as they informed Justin Simmons he will be released. Simmons, who was the Broncos' third-round pick in 2016, was the team's longest tenured player.
That guy's just tearing it down out there, isn't he?
Yeah.
It's just that time of year. It's cut time.
Well, I mean, they get rid of quarterback, get rid of the face of their defense. Now, I mean, do they have a bunch of cap space?
They will now.
They had to trade all those draft picks to get him. So, maybe they can at least go out there and get competitive because they were not fun to watch last year.
No. oddly enough, they were
last
better.
Couple of years.
They were better this year. I felt like than what they had been in years past.
Haven't been. Yeah,
they were good.
They were, but they haven't been fun to watch since Peyton.
Oh no,
yeah, they damn near made the playoffs last year.
They've been a quarterback experiment for the better part of 10 years since he's gone.
But they had that weird thing where they benched Russell Wilson at the end just to save some money, and it's just very strange.
At number four, former Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback Mitch Trubisky has signed a 2-year deal with the Buffalo Bills. The number two overall pick in 2017 spent a brief period in Buffalo in between his time in Chicago and Pittsburgh. So this will be his second stint as the Bills' backup.
Not that it's a big surprise, but Buffalo needs to continue to hope that Josh Allen stays healthy.
Yes.
They are a 5-win football team without Josh Allen.
Well, you have a good quarterback in the NFL. I mean, you have so much money tied up
sure.
in him. That's the way it's going to be. Who is the backup in Kansas City?
Was Chad Henne. It's not anymore.
No, it was somebody else this year. Who was it? There's another
Chase Daniel.
Retail. Yeah.
Chase Daniel,
yeah,
that's who it was.
So, I mean, you go from great to suck with one unlucky break.
Pretty much. And finally, at number five, a team of German scientists studied a 62-year-old man who deliberately got 217 COVID vaccine shots over 29 months and found that he suffered from no negative vaccine-related side effects. He is what you would call a walking experiment, so after hearing about him from a newspaper, researchers from the University of, I'm going to try not to butcher this, Erlangen-Nuremberg.
I think he nailed it.
Contacted him and asked if they could study him in the name of science. So, although researchers noted that the man's unique approach to vaccination showed just how well-tolerated the vaccines generally are, they also admitted that his tolerance for an absurd number of vaccines may not translate to the rest of the population.
200 and what?
217.
One more and he should be good to go.
You think he's had it?
No, the thing I read said there was no evidence of him ever having COVID.
How would they be able to tell?
He volunteered. There was weird. Germany has weird laws. And he's been talking about this and promoting it, and there was like an investigation into him for basically lying, right?
Yeah, there was also an investigation as if it, like, he was just getting this just to get other people vaccination cards.
Oh.
Oh, yeah, I forgot that scam that was going for a minute. There were several people.
That was proven false.
But, yeah, they studied him, and I guess they just drew his blood and they can tell, man. They can draw your blood and tell if you've had anything. Science, bro.
Well, no, I understand that, but it's hard for me to differentiate between the antibodies.
Because I don't.
Yeah, because during that whole time, I was getting my blood drawn every day. They were checking. They check for antibodies, but it's hard for me to tell the difference between the antibodies that show up after you're properly vaccinated or if you've had it. That's why I was curious. Surely. I couldn't imagine doing that. That's insane.
Hey, man, got any of that COVID vaccine, bro? Come on, man. I need a bump, man. Hook me up.
That's
man.
What I was wondering, if it just became this
hit.
Addiction obsession. With
how did they not notice? You get stuck that much, it's noticeable.
I don't know, man. When I got those shots, like, I couldn't see anything on my arm.
Yeah, but you didn't have 200 of them.
Well, I mean, you didn't get 200 at once. They're spaced out over how long has that been available? 4 years now?
Well, his was 29 months.
I guess that is a – well, he's still averaging about 10 a month. That's a lot. I don't know.
Like, a little overboard.
If you're getting stuck a lot, it starts showing up really fast.
Thank you, Tucker. That is the Top 5 at 5. It's brought to you by Volunteer Auto Group, where we'll be tomorrow for a live edition of the show from 3 until 6 p.m. Looking forward to being back out there. Justin Ganey is going to join us on the show as we celebrate a Tennessee basketball conference championship, the 11th in school history and the 6th outright, not shared with anybody. It is the second championship of the Rick Barnes era. The third, if you include the SEC tournament. So, Rick Barnes, starting to pile up the hardware, and one more big game against Kentucky on Saturday, and then the real fun starts with the SEC and NCAA tournaments just around the corner. 865-546-8200, your number to get on the show this afternoon, 546-8200. And Trey is next. Good afternoon, Trey.
Guys, I really hate that this isn't a VR because I just sat through. Basically, I'm in a beautiful place. I call in because I want to drink in this championship moment with you guys. And I had to listen to that pile of crap call while I sat on hold and couldn't say anything. I mean, it's like, let's call it for what it is, man. There's some people that are just miserable. They are, and you can't fix that. Today's a happy day. I mean, I fell asleep last night. I don't know how I did this, but I fell asleep with about 8 minutes left to go in the game. And I woke up, and when I checked my phone, it was pure elation. And thank God I fell asleep, because when I rewatched the last 8 minutes, I'm glad I didn't have to sweat that out. But the point is, like, what will it take? For Willie, I haven't heard any of the other calls today, so I'm not going to call Willie. But what will it take for Willie and insert other basher that's upset? What will it take to make you happy? Like, I understand his March performance is not the best. I understand that, guys. There's no coach that's perfect. We're the number 4 ranked team in the country. We're probably going to get our first ever one seed as a program. We just won our 12th SEC title in our existence. What was it, our 6th outright?
I think for Phil, honest to God, Trey, for Phil, I would be stunned. If Tennessee makes a Final Four, Phil will be one of the happiest people on the planet. He really will.
Well, here's the thing. I'm not – I hate that the show has turned into this because of two phone calls. Because here's the thing you have to remember, Trey, and you're a smart guy. You know this. The fringe is often the loudest. I think 99% of Tennessee fans, 99.9%, are just jubilant right now and just soaking in the joy of winning a conference title. But, you know, we've had two folks who picked up the phone call, you know, and decided to, you know, have a negative take on it. And unfortunately, like that stands out because it's in such contrast to the prevailing mood of the fan base right now. So I would just, I just like keep it in perspective, man. It is what it is. Folks can feel however they want to feel. And we might be drinking from the keg of despair here in a couple of weeks, but that's it. A couple of weeks. We're drinking from the keg of glory right now, man. Enjoy it.
Exactly. That's my thing, man. It's like, if you can't enjoy days like this and moments like this, like, at what point are you not even a fan? At what point are you just a miserable person? That's my question. Like, seriously, through and through, like, if this isn't something that ever, ever makes you happy, and I get it, we've gone through a lot of sucky times, but right now is one of the good times. If this doesn't make you happy, what are you doing here? Because, guys, I'm elated. I'm going to put that crap aside. I'm elated. We're champions. Russ, you're a champion. Bear, you're a champion. Tucker, you're a damn champion. And don't you let Bear call you husky either, boy. You're beautiful. Just the way you
are. Wow.
But no. Bear, everything's perfect today. It's a great day. How often do we get to do this, guys?
Well, that's the thing. It's happened 12 times in school history. 11 times. In school history, man, you got to stop and smell the roses.
Exactly.
It right. doesn't you know mean what? You're That's blindly what? Optimistic and you just, we're going to the Final Four. You'd probably better begin. I mean, we've seen the odds. Even if you're a one seed, you still that means you have a 22% chance of making the Final Four, I believe, is the statistics. That's not great odds.
Yeah.
So you have to enjoy the enjoyables.
Absolutely, guys. And we got to enjoy this team, and we got to enjoy this coach because he's one of the best in the country. Don't care what anybody says. He is. And he's the best coach we've ever had. So I'm thrilled to have him. I'm thrilled for this team, and I am thrilled to be damn champions today. Let's go, Vols, boys. Love you guys.
Here, here. Well said, Trey. Love you too, brother. And you take it step by step, as New Kids on the Block sang back in the day. Look it up, Tucker. And we celebrate the championship today. We turn the page, as Bob Seger sang. Metallica had an underrated cover tomorrow. And look forward to Kentucky. I'm not even worried about the NCAA tournament right now, except as it applies to getting the one seed, which is why we have to win the next one. You got to keep winning.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll worry about the matchups and what might happen and the nerves and all that stuff week after next.
Mm.
Yeah.
Right now, it's all about celebrating championship and getting ready for a big game against Kentucky Saturday over at the arena. Joshy Boy is next. This will be the fourth time, I believe, in the last 24 hours I have spoken to Joshy Boy. I believe I've talked to Joshy Boy more than anybody in my family over the last 24 hours. That is not an exaggeration.
How are you guys doing?
Doing well, Joshy Boy. How are you, sir?
Good. Russ, I just want you to picture this last night after VR, after we won the SEC outright. I was lifting you up in the air in celebration.
As like I stage dove, and Joshy Boy,
you would kill,
and
Joshy
and Trey Boy caught me, and they passed me over the crowd as everybody rejoiced.
Oh, fair. I'm a pretty strong dude.
Joshy Boy, I've met you.
Yeah.
Are you just like insulting everyone today? Like, what's wrong with you?
Be honest. He's thin.
You're well put together. You're stout, Joshy Boy. I wouldn't mess with you. I don't want any. I don't want a piece.
Tucker, if it makes you feel any better, I'll get some crumble cookies and bring them to you at Lindsay and Allison tomorrow.
Ooh.
I won't be there, unfortunately.
Where are you going to be at tomorrow?
I'm going to be right here.
He sounds so excited about it.
I'll be here.
What's the problem?
I don't have any problem. I'm just telling Joshy Boy where I'm going to be. There's no problem involved.
Turn. So, Russ says, tone.
Come on, dude.
Watch your tone.
Before I get to Tennessee basketball, so how good is this Illinois team coming in tomorrow playing Tennessee this week?
They've played a handful of decent teams. Like, I know they played Wake Forest in their little Wake Forest Demon Deacon Classic, whatever it's called. They played Coastal Carolina, who was then ranked, and they lost both of those games, but, you know, they're tested at least.
Yeah. I just wish that I know Tony won't do it a lot, but I would like to play maybe one game a year, like a top 25 team, like non-conference wise.
Hmm.
Yeah. Build that resume.
Yeah, he seems to have kind of settled into a style of scheduling where he likes to play that neutral site, and we generally do encounter a ranked team or two in that thing to start the season, and then he likes to come home and play some cupcakes.
Well, Kansas State was ranked.
Oh, they were?
Yeah, a short time ago. Not when we played them, but they were ranked like a week
before. You're talking about, like, Joshy Boy, you want to see a ranked team come in here and play a series.
I would have liked to play a home game with Wake Forest.
Mm.
That would be interesting.
That would
have Chase Burns in the square circle.
Hard for me to argue against pretty much anything Tony is doing right now, but the scheduling thing seems to work. And I think it is, like, you put in Illinois a power conference opponent right before, you know, I don't think they're an SEC level program. If they were, they'd probably be, you know, certainly the bottom half, bottom third, bottom fourth of our conference, but it's kind of a ramp up here. It's like, okay, boys, this isn't Albany coming in this weekend. It's not Bowling Green. This is Illinois, and just kind of let you know that after this week, it's on.
Right. So, Russ, to my question last night I had for you and Bear, well, I asked Davey too, I kind of agree with Bear, and I kind of agree with Davey. I want the one seed in the NCAA tournament to have the first ever one seed, but I kind of want to have like that better matchup when they reveal the bracket as well, too.
Yeah, I mean, you could do both, and I see Davey's point in that you would rather have the easiest path to the Final Four. I think generally the one seed is going to get you there. I'm probably not the best person to talk about this because I just don't follow the day in, day out bracketology movement right now. But I can't imagine that if we get that one seed in the West that we're not going to have a really easy first round opponent and an easy as you can get second round opponent. After that, to me, it's a crapshoot, man. You get into the Sweet 16, and it's going to be a dogfight matter who you're
playing.
At
that point, you're playing a team that was projected to be very good and got there, or a hot team that got there unexpectedly.
Yeah.
Like you're not going to get to the Sweet 16 unless the matchup just favors you and have a cakewalk. Rarely is that going to happen.
Yeah. I'm not scared. If I'm Tennessee, I'll play anybody. I'm not scared of Houston, Purdue, North Carolina, Arizona, UConn. We'll bring them all. We'll take them down. And out the door, guys, I'm really glad Tennessee won the SEC outright. We're champs. Let's be happy about it. And not even includes you, Willie and Philly. See ya.
Oh, that was kind.
That's probably the right take. Come on, fellas, join in our reindeer game. Rejoice. Be glad and rejoice in these wonderful times that Deacon Barnes has brought to this university. You're a champion. Enjoy it. Stay with us. We'll hear from Rick Barnes coming up here after the break. More of your phone calls on the way as well. The drive continues right here on Fan Run Radio. Back here on The Drive, it's Fan Run Radio. Tennessee, championess of the Southeastern Conference in college basketball this season. The banner is hung. The hardware is in. And the Wildcats on their way into Thompson Bowling Assembly Center and Arena for a big game on Saturday. Let's hear more from Rick Barnes now. This is after the game last night in Columbia, talking about his second SEC championship.
Well, I told her, guys, we could use this in a way to prepare us for the future because every team in our league, really, we had to go on the road at Missouri and didn't have a great night that night, but found a way to win and then came home and, you know, I think it was, A&M, then to Auburn, I think, and it was the last one, Alabama. Yeah, and we knew that from the time that we were going to finish the season really playing against every team that would be in the NCAA tournament. And so we knew it was going to be hard, but we looked at it. We said we got to embrace it because we can learn a lot about ourselves and see if we can continue to get better and start forming the right mindset for, you know, postseason. But we knew it was going to be hard because of the respect, again, that we have for our opponents and the coaches in this league. And, again, I can't imagine that the SEC's ever had a better basketball league with the teams that are in it right now, and great, great coaches in this league, and some great, really great young coaches. And but just proud of our guys because we were able to win the regular season, and something they wanted to do, and just proud of that. And it's just truly a blessing that we've all are able to be a part of it.
Rick, you kind of touched on it there for a second, but I'm curious, with this time of year, everybody talks about the NCAA tournament and conference tournaments. How much of a goal was it to win the SEC regular season rather than one of the tournaments coming up? How much did y'all talk about that specific goal?
Well, it was a goal that, you know, our guys said it. I mean, there's no doubt that's what they wanted to do. But we, again, knew it would be hard. But it started long before today, like it did with South Carolina. It's a group of guys that they came together. It's something that they wanted to do. And when we lost early, you know, we lost on the road to a really good Mississippi State team that came home and they beat us. And I think we've learned from every game. I do. I think we've learned something from every game, and I just also I got to credit our younger guys because what they've been able to do is they've continued to get better, which has helped our older guys. It's been fun watching our older guys tell those guys that, hey, we need you guys to go at us every day, and you guys watch practice, you see it. And but it's been a complete team program championship because there's so many people that are involved with it that no one knows about that has a lot to do with our guys being able to get on the court and do what they do. And again, it's just a true blessing to be around these guys in this program, and I just thank the good Lord for the opportunity I have had here at Tennessee.
Rick Barnes in the locker room after the game last night, a very grateful and, as always, humble Rick Barnes talking about the championship that he has won. Let's go back to the phones and talk to Stevie. Good afternoon, Stevie. You're on the drive. It's Fan Run Radio.
Russell!
Stevie!
All hail Richard Dale Barnes, King of the South, World Champions of the SEC. Hear, hear.
King in the South.
King of the South. We have the prince who was promised, Dalton, middle name forgotten, Connect. Yes. Hear, hear.
Are you on it, Chris?
Yep.
Well, I mean, when the guy goes for 26.
Dalton Douglas Connect.
Double D.
Dalton Dougie Douglas Connect.
Big Doug.
Guys, do we not have the Patty best Manny's player on the best team, in the best conference, in the best country of basketball?
I don't know, man. Spain is really up in their game if you pay attention. I think that Dalton Connect is fabulous. Well, the guy goes for 26, and we're all sitting around going, yeah, he was all right.
Pretty good night.
That's it. That's the sign of a pretty damn good player, you know?
I mean, it wasn't just us. I mean, it was Lamont Paris in his post game. He was like, if you told me 26 points on 23 shots, I would
have taken that. Yeah, that was weird.
With a guy that can score like he can.
Guys, he's the player that just makes you go when he scores. Does he not? I mean, last night, when that three hit with that 4-point play, how about that dunk off the inbound? You know what I'm saying? Y'all know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying.
I'm feeling it.
Guys, I want that number one seed. I need that number one seed. We deserve that number one seed. Do we not?
You got to stay hungry, Stevie. You got to stay hungry. Don't get satisfied here. Don't get full, man. Last night was just the appetizer. It was just the appetizer.
Oh, yeah. Talk to me, Rusty. Talk to me.
It's time for the main course. We'll have dessert in Phoenix, but I'm ready to start eating the main course.
And we're getting some cat this weekend, are we not, Russell? You ever eaten a cat, Russell?
Knowingly?
If you ate at that China buffet, it used to be down there on paper mill, there's a good chance that answer is yes.
Fried pussycat.
Boys, I believe in Coach Barnes. I believe in Dalton Connect. Guys, I want that one seed more than, I guess I want that one seed more than Bear wants an inferior quarterback to start over Nico. See you, boys.
You little punk and clown.
It was a masterclass, though.
I wasn't paying attention.
Lure everybody in, say nice things, and then, bah!
Like the Heisman stiff arm.
Yeah. You're going to get got now.
Wow. Stevie, covered a lot of ground on that one. I'm glad that he's feeling good, though, man. I feel like the calls have taken an upturn. We talk about tone. Tucker needs to watch his tone. Really, the callers need to watch their tone.
I think Tucker's tone is fine.
Okay.
He's been a little snappy over the whole cookie thing.
Well, when you call somebody husky, what
gentlemen,
do you expect?
Well, you can act like a hothouse fly over there. You get
gentlemen,
all upset.
Please.
You hothead.
Please.
He's a hothead, Russ.
Says the guy yelling.
The point is, what was my point? Oh, yeah, the callers. The callers' tone has been much better this hour than, I mean, it was a little bit of a roller coaster there to start. It's very disappointing, quite frankly. And I'm hoping we can keep it rolling here.
We had Phil, Jamie. We had Known Dog.
We don't have to relive it. We know what happened.
Mr. Reload was we were there. One.
Roberto is next. Good afternoon, Roberto. Try that again. Roberto is next. Good afternoon, Roberto.
Hey, guys. Good afternoon.
Hello.
Greetings and salutations from halfway between Kristen Pulisic's hometown and the song that is enshrined in the lexicon of American music, written by the great Billy Joel. How do you feel about that?
Hershey, you know, Pennsylvania.
No idea where the hell you're at.
And Billy Joel. Uptown Girl. I don't know. I'm
Allentown.
Okay, I'm not a Billy Joel. I'm not
what?
Deep into that catalog.
Billy Joel guy.
Not deep
Allentown,
into the catalog.
Maybe.
Yeah, Allentown. Correct. I'm halfway between Hershey and Allentown.
All right.
But I just, you know, up here spreading the victory cheer amongst the known dullards in Pennsylvania today. Man, I tell you what, it just feels really, really good. I think it was Trey that called in earlier that was saying, you know, how do these people just be miserable? I used to be a Perlinista and a Barnes Basher. I'm converted, guys. And it's like finding a new religion. It's a great place to be. I highly recommend.
So it can happen. How did you make the change? What can you tell to some of our callers that are not handling this in perhaps the best way? How did you find the light, Roberto?
I discovered that I like winning more than I hate losing. It's the opposite. I got reverse Jordan.
Yeah,
they may say. How can you be upset? The man he's done everything you could possibly want except go to an Elite Eight or a Final Four. And if we get a one seed, Rick Barnes typically plays to his seed line. That's why I want a one seed. I mean, I'd love to see it because it's never been done. It'd be the first time in school history. But he plays to his seed line a lot of times. Not always, but a lot of times. And the furthest he goes, he plays to his seed line. So for a one seed, the Final Four is actually on the table. If we're a two seed, it's probably not.
And if none of the other one seeds get to the Final Four.
Look out.
You see what I'm cooking?
Interesting. Unlike a lot of people, I don't mind being the one seed out west, because doesn't that mean we play in Charlotte the first two rounds?
We're playing
you're the
in Charlotte
west one,
regardless.
But you play in – do what now, Bear?
Well,
sorry?
I'm pretty sure that regardless of – whatever region we're in, we're playing in Charlotte.
Yeah, I always get confused because the sites are divvied up by your region, but they don't always, like, you're not always going to play. Like, this says it's Omaha, Memphis, Salt Lake for the West, but I don't think we'd necessarily have to go there.
No,
for
you don't.
Because for the first two rounds, it's not as much about that as it is about the NCAA saving money on 68 teams having to travel.
That and helping the school's fan bases.
Right.
They try and keep them within, a short
Which
distance.
Which then helps themselves, right? I mean, it's kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy. If they can get closer to fan base.
Are you telling me that the NCAA manipulates its sites to make it the most money for itself?
Not if you listen to Jerry Palm. He won't tell you that. He will tell you the exact opposite. No, they don't do that. Are you drunk? Like, yeah, it's okay. Let's just admit who we are. Houston, I think you were the one who tweeted it, but I stole it, and I'm going to use it again. I call him Joey the Rug because of his hair or lack thereof.
That was not me. Joey I'm Brackett. Trying to remember. Somebody goes.
No. That was me, but I was
Joey Ruggles.
Your take, and Joey Ruggles is good. Joey the Rug had to bend the knee last night. And that means the NCAA selection committee has bent the knee. And that's a good thing. Agreed?
Yeah, I mean, you know where his...
Well, he was the only one just yelling into the wind.
But his source is the NCAA.
Yeah, so, I mean... you say his source is the NCAA. It's somebody connected with the selection committee.
Yeah. Yes, without a doubt. Well, guys, thanks for the time today. I'll eat a hurt for you guys. And congrats, champs. You earned it. I'm happy for you. And you can come on over. You know, you got to get baptized in the Tennessee River. But other than that, guys, you can convert to being from a Barnes basher to a Barnes apologist, as it were. Take care.
See, Roberto, he once was blind, now he sees.
He's a changed man.
Come on in, Negavals. The water's fine.
And the deacon's been expecting you.
He holds no grudges. He welcomes you with open arms. Let's get Matthew in here. Matthew, you're on the drive. It's Fan Run Radio. Good afternoon, sir.
Happy Victory Thursday, gentlemen. Happy Championship Thursday. It is a great day to be a Tennessee Vol. So take a victory lap, boys, because we're in the good days. And I'm 31 years old. I grew up with the Buzz Peterson days, the Bruce Pearl days, Konzo Martin days. I was actually at Fort Benning, and I've never seen a Donnie Tindall basketball game. True story. I was at Fort Benning for 4 months, and so I have no idea of what that era was like, but I obviously know it wasn't fun. But this truly has been the most fun basketball team, fun basketball era that Coach Barnes has had. I mean, what more can you say about Dalton Connect? What more can you say about Sakai Ziegler? Everybody loves that kid. But it just feels different with this team. I know we've talked about the offense, but the defense, man, I mean, it's been there all season long. And I remember in the first half when it was still kind of close, there was three possessions in a row where either Jonas Adu blocked it, Santiago Vescovi stole it, or Josiah Jordan James blocked it. And we have a group of guys that are older men, and that's what you have to use in the NCAA tournament. The days of the one-and-dones going deep into the tournament, in my humble opinion, it's gone. I really do think if Tennessee is going to finally break through, I'm with Roberto. You got to get that one seed and then just play basketball. We have the tools in front of us. And I'm excited for Saturday. I mean, who wants dessert, boys? I think this is going to be Coach Barnes' 10th possible victory over Cal. Is that correct?
Ooh. We talked about this in the last matchup.
I thought the last one was 10.
Was it 10?
Yeah, I'm sure we'll dig up those numbers when UT's game notes and everything come out here. But, yeah, I think if he had lost the last one, he would have fallen to 500. So I think he's two games over 500. I think I want to say he's 10-8 against Kentucky since he's been here at Tennessee. But we'll find those exact stats, I'm sure, in the next 24 hours.
9, 10, 11, it doesn't matter. But all I'm saying is, you know, I understand that some fans want to keep the cup on because of where Tennessee athletics as a whole has been before. You know, the Philip Fulmer days were kind of rough there at the end. You know, Lane Kiffin leaves you, and then Bruce Pearl and the barbecue. I understand Tennessee fans have not had a whole lot to cheer for outside of Tony Vitzel and the baseball team making the World Series a bunch. So I understand, but gentlemen, this is fun basketball. This is why we're Tennessee fans. These moments we live for, and we're gonna enjoy it because it's not a guarantee that, you know, whenever Coach Barnes does hang up, that we do it right. But I'm going to enjoy every single moment we have with this coach, and I'm just blessed to know that he is coaching some great young men. And I'm just proud to be a Tennessee Volunteer. I love y'all. Y'all have a great day, and go Vols.
Thank you, Matthew. Love you too, brother. Feel the love.
A lot of positivity in hour number three today, Russell.
I'm digging it. More yeah. Like it. All right, the bracketology reports are coming in. We'll let you know where the quote-unquote experts have the Volunteers headed in the NCAA tournament when we continue. Stay with us. The shocking conclusion of the drive coming up. Speak now, forever hold your peace. 865-546-8200. 546-8200, your number to get on board. Back to wrap things up right after this. Fan Run Radio, the drive continues, wrapping up on a Thursday afternoon edition of the show. We have Overtime headed your way next on many of these Fan Run affiliates.
Overtime Bill and the boys here.
Indeed, indeed. Bracketologists have the Vols almost universally as a one seed now. the full bracketology report on Lunardi, he's, you know, he moved Tennessee up, but he hasn't redone his bracket. I guess he only does that once every 2 or 3 days. So you'll still see Tennessee as the 2 seed there, but he says they're the 1 seed now, presumably in the West. And we were talking Houston, if he just switched Tennessee and Arizona, that would likely have us playing the winner of the 8-9 game between Nevada and Michigan State.
Correct.
In that bracket, to which a lot of college basketball fans don't want any part of Tom Izzo in March.
Not in this calendar month, no.
Well, in Jerry Palm world, he's got Tennessee on the one line in the West. Do you think the 8-9, you want some narrative for a potential 8-9 matchup in Palm land?
You have his whole bracket?
Yeah.
You want to hint me?
Memphis?
No. 8-seed Boise.
Okay.
Or 9-seed Tejas.
Oh, boy.
I really don't want to see Brock Cunningham again.
It's going to be hard. Anyway. I mean, whoever wins an 8-9 game, Palm, by the way, the South region, Houston's region, has the 8-9 game, 8-seed Gonzaga versus 9-seed Michigan State.
No thanks.
So, I mean, look, you're going to be playing a hard one. The 8-9 seed in Palm's East region, the UConn region, would be Florida Atlantic or TCU. The other one is Dayton or Purdue. Dayton or Oklahoma. Purdue, the 1 seed in that one. So, point is, you're going to have a tough second round game.
Everybody does. Usually.
Welcome to March.
The big show.
Brad in La Follette is next. What's up, Brad?
Afternoon, champions.
Good afternoon, champion.
How's it going?
Oh, I mean, it's going spectacularly. Championship edition of the show.
I've been went to the keg a couple times and got refills, boys.
I mean, we didn't sleep last night. We just stayed up drinking, hair of the dog and whatnot, and the keg of glory. I mean, we'll sleep later, you know?
That's it. Have you heard anything about the championship? So, if they're going to do anything like a banner raising or anything Saturday?
No.
No, I mean, you got Kentucky coming in here. Our thought on the show yesterday, even before we beat South Carolina, was you probably cut down the nets and have a trophy ceremony or something after the game Saturday if you win.
If you win, right.
Did they already get the trophy?
Not that I've seen.
No, they
Part
probably
of me
wouldn't
thinks
have had
that we
it.
Shouldn't do anything.
Bigger fish to fry?
I think they should do it during the pregame shoot-around.
I think that you don't want to go overboard with it. And it's like that Perloff guy tweeting about Kinect celebrating. It's like, look, we can take time out to acknowledge the hard work culminating in a conference championship and still know that there is more bigger fish to fry, more to be done, all that stuff. We can do two things at once, okay? We're big boys here. So I wouldn't, you know, I don't think if you beat, if you lose to Kentucky, I think you just shut it down. I don't want to cut down the nets after you. That would be losing
stuff. No, that'd
stuff.
Be weird.
That's why you got to do it pregame. I would have somebody up there with a big box with confetti. Kentucky's down there trying to do their shooting. And have confetti dumped on their head and Calipari's greasy head.
I don't hate it. Seems like it's a little bit tempting the wrath of the whatever high atop the thing. But, I mean, Rick Barnes isn't. That's not going to happen. My thought is if we win the game, let's break out the ladders and cut down the nets and then move on.
Yeah, that's some all-time shade, though. That you couldn't top that. Houston, I love your baseball announcer thing that you do. Have you happened to catch the guy off the movie 42, the Jackie Robinson movie? I think his name's Red Barber.
Okay. I saw that movie a long time ago.
I seen that movie the other night on Netflix, and I thought of you when I every time I have a scene with that guy. Yeah, my managers are having a chin wag with each other. Well, guys, I want to get off here. Bear, I thought that was a cheap shot that Stevie did, and I can't believe he dunked on you like that. So I hope you can recover, buddy.
That was nice, I think.
No, it wasn't.
No?
No. know exactly what it was, but I wasn't going to give him the satisfaction of hearing the foghorn.
What did Stevie –
I took a cheap shot at Joe Milton.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You were a big Joe defender.
Yeah.
I kind of both sized that one myself.
You were a fence straddler. Mm-hmm. And looking back on it, it's, you know, I can understand. I think we can all see a little bit clearer picture on what went into roster decisions last fall.
Mm-hmm.
We won't spend the last 2 minutes of this Championship Thursday relitigating the great Joe Milton,
no.
Nico Iamaleava.
No, I don't think it had anything to do with the field.
I do have a football nugget, a little tiny nugget for you, with spring practice a week from Monday. You want a little nug?
Sure, let's get out the Polynesian sauce.
Trevor Duncan is now listed as an offensive lineman on UTSports.com.
Interesting.
Little nug.
Remember when that used to happen all the time in the 90s? That free-for-all that go on between Chavis and Fulmer and all of them, and the guys would
– Heupel is not a big position switcher. It felt like Pruitt was a throwback in that regard, and that he would just
–
we tried so-and-so at tight end today.
But those guys back then in the old days, they were really good. That was one of their really underrated strengths. Like they could, when they got kids in, these guys in, they would identify where their best, what their best position was.
Well, Trevor Duncan, I mean, he was a 4-star on at least one of the services, and most of the people that followed it said like he's got the long arms or he's got offensive tackle body, but. It's weird because we have so many senior defensive linemen right now that you're going to need somebody for next year to sort of have in the pipeline.
Mm-hmm.
But if he's offensive line, he's offensive line. We're going to need offensive tackles next year too in 2026 as well. So 2025, whatever year it is going to be then. But anyway, I thought that was interesting. All right. Overtime is next. For us, Kentucky is next. Volunteer Auto Group is next. We'll be out there breaking it all down to levels that can only be described as beyond scientific with you. Come out, see us. Callahan Drive in North Knoxville. For Bear and Tucker and Houston Kress, I'm merely Russell Smith. We'll do it again tomorrow right here on Fan Run Radio.